then is this that even the wind and the sea who obey him?
Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation.
It is good for us to be here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin, cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Eternal Majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Job, the 38th chapter. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut the seas with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped.'" The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 107 responsively with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble.
And gathered from the lands, and from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their calamity. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress.
He made
Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to humankind.
Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, and genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God, and with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet we are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Please be seated. So I want to, really, before I start the sermon, I want to give a demonstration of what it actually means to gird up one's loins. It seems like you'd be like, what is that? No. Really, all it means, if you're wearing a robe like this, you like take it and you tuck it into your belt and you kind of tie it around yourself so you can run. Or in Job today, God is getting ready to fight Job in response. We'll get there. So he needs his loins girded so that they can fight each other, which, sorry, God wins, Job loses, we all lose, you know. I'm not real happy with God today. Sorry, just got to say it. So water is the fountain of life. We see a water fountaining, bubbling back there today. Water is that which we're made of. We must have water to drink or we will certainly perish. If you're a farmer, you pray for rain. On weeks like this, if you're a farmer, you also sometimes pray for it to stop raining. We are beholden to water. On scorching hot days, there's nothing better than going to a swimming pool or a pond or a beach, assuming you can swim. Water is life for us Christians. It is new life. Water is the earthly element that we are sprinkled with or dunked in when we are baptized into Christ Jesus. And water, though, when it rages, when it overflows the banks of streams and rivers, when it takes the form of ship capsizing rogue waves, when it takes the form of a town leveling or a coast leveling tsunami or storm surges that wash away entire city blocks, it's very dangerous. Water can, and it does many times, take away life. So my daughter Lydia this week, ooh, look at that glare. She's like, what's he going to say? She went to scout camp this past week. And she is, we'll say, a capable swimmer. Right, Lydia? Is that a good? Yeah, she's laughing. Capable swimmer. She's not a great swimmer. She's capable. But one of the Eagle-required merit badges is swimming. And this is a badge that Lydia was very nervous to take this week. Right, Lydia? Yes. She had to, without stopping, swim 150 yards. Demonstrating four different strokes. She had to dive to the bottom of the pool and pick something up. And here's the one that I think really scared her. That was easy. The one that really scared her, at least at the beginning of the week, was treading water for 5 minutes. With that, you didn't do it? You didn't have to tread water for 5 minutes without stopping? I'm going to make you do it just to make sure that if you ever get eagle someday, you're a real eagle. Anyway. Even in a confined pool, though, when there are no lifeguards, when there are instructors, when there's no waves or splashing other than that which is created by Lydia's flailing. She was not flailing. Even small bodies of placid water can provoke fear and anxiety and terror. So sometimes when I read lectionary texts, the good news of Jesus Christ is right there. It's on the surface of that water. It's just so apparent, and I just come up here and I preach it. So to continue the water metaphor, writing a sermon and preaching it on these weeks is kind of like water skiing. There's this nice, calm lake. There's a fast boat. I'm jumping the wake. I'm showboating, right? I'm doing tricks. I'm like, look at this bag of Cheerios. I'm like, here, have some milkweed seeds. I take, a cross and I smash into a thing of Legos. And I'm like, please don't hit the windows, right? Those are the easy days to preach sermons. But this week, I struggled to stay at the surface. I treaded water all week with these texts. I've been gulping nasty lake water all week. And if you ask why, it's because I don't really like what Jesus does and says to the disciples. I just don't think he's quite fair to them. I really connect with the disciples this week. I kind of think Jesus fails pastoral care 101. This week, if I'm being honest. So it's evening on the Sea of Galilee. It's getting very dark, and there is a great windstorm that comes up out of nowhere. There's a squall of wind, a whirlwind. It's another translation. It starts battering this boat, and immediately, without delay, the boat is swamped with water. Now, these disciples, here's what we know about them. At least four of them were fishermen. They knew this sea. They knew this body of water. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew its storms. They knew the harmless gusts from the little squalls from what this was. A giant whirlwind that destroyed boats and drowned its fishermen. And they were scared. And up here somewhere is Jesus. He's laying in first class. He's on a Tempur-Pedic mattress. And he's sound asleep. And there, back here in the boat, and they're trying to bail water. And I know, they wake him and he eventually rebukes the storm and he stills it. But did he really have to rebuke the disciples too? Why are you afraid? This is the wimpy NRSV translation of it. But the Greek for afraid is delos. Cowardly is another very appropriate translation of this word. Why are you such cowards, Jesus says. Have you still no faith? Come on, Jesus. Really? They just thought they were going to die and you're yelling at them? So when Lydia told me she was nervous about swimming this week, I didn't say, why are you being such a cowardly crybaby? Because of course I didn't do that. No, I opened up the requirements to the merit badge. We talked about them so she knew what to expect. And then I encouraged her. And when she passed it this week, I told her how proud I was of her, not for passing it, but for trying. Are you taking notes, Jesus? This is pastoral care. Or even being a good dad, which I can do on occasion. But surely, God this week did better than Jesus. And you're like, God, Jesus, don't worry about it. God did better in Job, right? No. God also fails pastoral care 101 today. Now, before we jump into Job, let's talk about something. Job is not a historic figure. He doesn't exist, okay? This isn't a history book. This is a didactic story. It is a story meant to teach us. You want to talk about that later? We'll talk about that later. But I just want to say it's poetry. It's meant to teach us. So here's Job. He's living this blessed life, perfect life. And then seemingly with God's permission, which makes the story even worse, Satan set about destroying Job's life. His children were killed. His property and his livestock, they were destroyed. And then in round two of the suffering, Job's health was taken from him, right? And this, there were quote, loathsome sores. I don't know. It sounds pretty terrible. From the soles of both of his feet all the way up to the top of his head. And at this point, Job's like, okay, God, you win. I've had enough. I wish I've never even been born into this life, period. Let the day perish in which I was born, Job cries out to God and tells God he would rather have never been born than enduring that which he is enduring right now. And I have to ask you, have you ever been in such despair that you wish you had never even been born? So, I can say my lament along those lines, my thought along those lines, were never quite to that. But I've shared this before. A few years ago after the seizure I had and some panic attacks, and in between were more panic attacks and constant worrying about more seizures. It's a really great cycle I was in. I was lying in bed during one of the worst ones. I was certain that I was going to have a seizure in that moment, which fortunately never came. And I thought to myself, if this is going to be the rest of my life, I don't want it. And you know what Andrea did when I woke her up just in case I did have a seizure? She yelled at me. She said, you cowardly crybaby! She turned over and she went back to sleep. I have to say, in the other church when I said that, someone believed that you actually did that and was like, oh! And I was like, no, she didn't really do that. She didn't really do that. Apparently, she held my hand, right? She held my hand. 30 minutes later, she drove me to the emergency room where they gave me drugs that made me feel a lot better. So are you starting to see why I'm struggling with Jesus and God this week? When we are perishing, when we wish we've never been born, or to the point of saying, if this is my life, I'm not sure that I want it. Hearing Jesus rebuke us and accuse us of having no faith is the last thing we need, isn't it? But Job insists he is upright and righteous. Job insists that this is not fair. Job fights our fight for us. He persists and demands an audience before the God Almighty. He says, "My complaint is bitter, God. Your hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find you and I might come to your dwelling. I would lay my case before you and fill my mouth with arguments against you." And I think this is just biblical poetry for the question that we often ask. Why do bad things happen to good people, God? You know what, Job? I'm with you. That is a great question. And after 38 long chapters, God is bothered to wake from God's slumber, from God's seeming absence. God was somewhere up here in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Gets woken up from his nap by Job. And God, kind of like when I get woken up from a nap, was grumpy. Did not like being woken up. And God says, "You dare question me? Where do you get your knowledge, Job? Were you around when I laid the earth's foundation? When I sunk its bases into the deep of the cosmos? When I organized this chaos? When I took hold of the raging waters and calmed them, shut them in? When I swaddled the earth and gave you the haven of dry land?" And I have to say, I'm not quite sure that you actually organized all the chaos, God. This all seems a distraction to me. God doesn't answer Job's questions, our questions, questions about suffering and evil. Why is this insert terrible life event happening to me? You all have that terrible life event or events. We've all been there. You've told me about them. For some of you, I've been with you for them. Who of us here hasn't demanded that God answer that unanswerable question? Show me your face, God. Stand before me and tell me why you would let this happen to me and my family and my friends. I had heart surgery last year, God, but a year later, my heart is still not fixed. Why would you let... It wasn't me. I didn't have heart surgery. Hypothetical there, buddy. Sorry. Sorry to scare you. But why did you let my friend Andy of all people, die of pancreatic cancer? Why did you take him from us? Why did you let my wife get a brain tumor? Why did you take my wife and my husband, my mom or my dad, my son and my daughter? Don't you care that the boat that I am in here on this earth is swamped and that it is sinking? And that it's about to capsize, and that the waves are overwhelming us, and that it's dark and we cannot see. And we're not even sure anymore if you're even out there in that darkness, let alone in that boat with us. Because if you were here, you surely wouldn't be allowing us to suffer in this way. Do you even care that we're perishing, God? It is this question that arouses Jesus' anger. When the disciples dare ask, "Don't you even care that we're perishing?" "Peace, be still!" He first rebukes the storm. And then he rebukes the disciples. "Why are you such cowards? Have you still no faith?" While I still think Jesus fails that pastoral care class, in this instance, he does get something right. Because you know, he's Jesus. He's right sometimes. Jesus is there in the boat. Jesus is there in the boat. When we cry out, Jesus does, in some way, answer. God also fails pastoral care today. But here's the thing. I don't think this text from Job, I don't think this text from Mark, is meant to answer Job's questions and complaints, our questions and complaints to God. The complaint that says, "Why, God, would you let this happen to me?" These texts are meant to answer the disciples' second question: who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And the answer to that question is, this is the Son of God who was there when God sunk the bases into the deep, who was with God when God subdued those waters at creation. Jesus, the one with authority over the wind and the waves, was with the disciples in that boat. He never left. He is with us in that boat. He never leaves. God was with Job. He heard all of Job's complaints. God was there with Job the whole time. God is with us. God hears our complaints and our cries, and God never leaves us either. The good news we hear in Mark isn't that Jesus, that God stills the storm, because it can't be the good news, because we look around at our lives and we see those storms that have come and gone, but there are still waves that rock that boat. We're still bailing water years and years and years later. The lake is never again still and placid after those storms. The good news, though, comes to us today in two forms. First, in Jesus, the God of the universe, the God that appears out of the whirlwind, this God is with us in the boat. And there is some hidden good news, some good news that I really had to dig for this week. Have you still no faith? This was a rhetorical question. This was a rhetorical question from Jesus to the disciples, because Jesus knew that in that moment they had no faith. And even when the disciples' answer was no, even when they had no faith, even when our answer was no, even when our faith goes to zero, Jesus is still there. Jesus is still Emmanuel, God with us, in the battered and in the sinking boat. "Don't you care that we're perishing?" cry the disciples. The same cry that we cry. And I think Jesus responds so viscerally because the question is absurd. "Do I even care that you're perishing?" What kind of ridiculous question is that? "If you only knew how much I care, if you only knew just a little bit how much I love you," says Jesus. "Don't you know that your suffering is my suffering? I am here to end sin and suffering and death and evil once and for all. If you only knew, if you only knew what God's plan is for you, what my plan is for you, what is to come." We know a little bit. We were let in on a little bit of that, aren't we? What was and is to come is the cross. What that means is resurrection and new life. But this knowledge doesn't prevent, it doesn't preclude suffering like we want it to. It doesn't prevent those times of little to no faith that we happen upon, that come into our lives. The good news of the cross, however, tells us that Jesus, that God, suffers with us now and always. That even when we are being battered from all sides, even when we are sinking, even when we are bailing out water and more just keeps spilling over the side, even when all hope is seemingly gone, when our faith is seemingly gone and down to zero, the crucified and suffering God is right there with us in that boat. "Have you still no faith?" asked Jesus. Even when our answer is no, "I have no faith," might I suggest that Jesus' faith in God's love for us A faith that Jesus demonstrated in the stilling of the storm and through his suffering on the cross. A faith that knows God will not let you perish. I think that this faith might be enough. That is my hope anyway. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again.
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So I'd just like to say, we just had some literal pastoral care for the pastor after he spilled his water after spending a whole sermon talking about water by Tracy to get a towel to spill up his to clean up his water. See, Jesus. Pastoral care. Just saying. What, this marker doesn't work? Well, give me a marker that works. What other prayers might we have to add to our prayers of intercession today? Alex? Tracy? Her family? Did Tracy pass away? Sudden, Okay. What others? Let us pray. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and for the world.
Equip your faithful people to approach this world with a sense of wonder. Make your church a safe place to explore big questions, troubling doubts, honest laments, and even our frustrations and anger at you, O God. Remind us that we were not there when the bases of this world were sunk and its cornerstone laid, and we cannot claim to understand your ways. When the storms of this life bring pain and trauma, bolster our faith that we may be able to feel and perceive your love for us. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Amid whirlwinds of division, violence, and conflict, both in this nation with the upcoming election, and afar in places like Israel, Gaza, Russia, Ukraine, and wherever gang violence and wars persist, remind us again that you are as steadfast as the foundations of the earth. Rejuvenate peacemakers and those who advocate for justice and peace when they feel weary in their work, especially those who continue working toward a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. Merciful God,
you spoke creation into order from the chaos of the swirling deep. In calling us to subdue this creation, remind us that this does not mean exploit. Make us good stewards of what you have freely given. Help us preserve national, state, and local parks, that they may be places of recreation and rest, not just for us, but for all generations that will come after us. May your name be praised by rivers and seas, wetlands and waterfalls, and protect water sources from contamination or exploitation, that all people across this earth would never want for clean water. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Deliver your people from their distress, O God. We lift before you all who are sick or struggling, especially the family and friends of Tracy, Alex, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Grant consolation and peace to all who live with chronic, terminal, or persistent illness. In times of affliction or hardship, sustain us in faith. Merciful God,
now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation for all the redeemed of the Lord. Thank you, O God, for the saints of the church triumphant, whose earthly faith continues to inspire us to more deeply trust in you on the days when our faith is so very weak. Together with this great cloud of witness, we give thanks for your steadfast love and your wonderful works. Merciful God,
we thank you, O Lord, for the gift of rain this morning for the farm fields of this area. Merciful God, receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of your Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share God's peace with one another. We will continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Cheers. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of this world. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people. For the forgiveness of sin, do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom, teaching us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The one with the power and authority to subdue winds and waves invites us all to come and to be fed at this table and to experience peace and stillness in and through him. Come, therefore, and be restored through his body and blood. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Talk about it later. This is the body of Christ broken. This is the body of Christ broken. This is the body of Christ. Oh, never mind. Not yet. You are a beloved child of God, though. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. You able to have this? Thank you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Sorry they didn't sing with you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. I lost a bet with the worship and music team. I told them that if we put that as a communion hymn, you'd be dancing on your way up to communion, and you guys just walked like normal. No dancing. All right. I didn't actually make that bet. I do know you. All right. So a few announcements. To make note of, next Sunday, we will be eating ice cream after worship and some other things. But most importantly, ice cream. So that will be in the social hall after the worship service. So, you know, 11:15-ish. Anyway, that will be a combined service as part of our Lutheran partnership with St. Paul. They will be worshiping here with us next Sunday as well, June 30th. Same time, same place for you all, 10 a.m. Let's see. If you're part of the worship and music team, we're going to meet here in about 15 minutes back in the office, and we'll pick some hymns for like the next couple weeks or something. Anyway, we will do that. Any other announcements of note this morning? Seeing and hearing none, let us stand as you are able in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Reminder that our noisy offering is for crocheting prayer shawl, that stuff.
Oh, makes the storm be still and hushes the waves of the sea. Go, proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.